This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
And KBOO will broadcast this lecture live. This edition of Political Perspectives was recorded and produced at the studios of KBOO Portland and made possible by KBOO members. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Joe Meyer. And Sisyphus is happy. Ha 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 ha.
You are listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. The time is 10:01. Coming up next is Air Cascadia with your host, Chris Andre.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud media sponsor of the Q Center Winter Gala, Fire and Ice. Fire and Ice will be held at Castaway Portland, 1900 Northwest 18th Avenue, on Saturday, January 26th. The VIP party begins at 6 p.m. and general admission is at 7. Entertainment includes a performance by two-time Grammy Award winner Matt Albert and much more. Information about the Q Center Winter Gala can be found at kboo.fm/2013fireandice.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, January 23rd, 2013, and you are listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. The Elihi Institute's 2013 lecture series kicks off tonight with Raj Patel speaking on the politics of food. We'll be speaking with the Elihi Institute's director, Peter Schoonmaker, this morning about the Institute, what its goals are, and the theme of the series this year. We have a story coming out of Long Beach, California, an example of extreme police brutality. And farther afield, the results of yesterday's Israeli elections had some surprises for Benjamin Netanyahu and the rest of the world, who were predicting a strong showing for the ultra-right parties of Naftali Bennett. He slipped back in the polls, and the surprise of challenger to Netanyahu, Yesh Atid, or the Party of the Future, made a very respectable showing. But first, this the weather. Rain or freezing rain, steady temperatures today around 38, south wind 14, gusting up to 24 miles per hour for tonight. Showers and patchy freezing fog, lows around 34, and the wind dropping off. For tomorrow, overcast skies, slight chance of rain with a high near 43. Tomorrow night, rain is fairly certain, mostly cloudy, lows around 40. The alternative forecast, we have a waxing gibbous root moon in Taurus. The moon is 11 days old. Synodic forecast, and let's see. The rest of it seems to be fairly steady. And again, if this is not a time of year when it is possible for you to plant anything at all, then what these various approaches to growing food would have for you would be what you think about, how you think about the earth, how you listen to the winter whisper. And biodynamic, people say moon in Taurus, and again the sidereal forecast, moon in Taurus, both agree on root vegetables. After all, it is a root moon. The sidereal particularly notes that especially when hardiness and drought conditions is needed, it's a good time for root vegetables. I think people will very likely be turning more and more to some of these alternative techniques as we grow ever more desperate at the long-term view of what the prospects for farming actually are. It may be the end of agriculture as we know it. And now, moving in into news from around Cascadia, and of course, the news that we have today, we have the lecture series. Ilahi Institute is an extraordinary endeavor based here in Portland. Whether the name pops up frequently, which it doesn't, nonetheless, the Ilahi Institute has provided a great deal of data, numbers, information upon which others have based critical decisions regarding our environment, the bioregion, and the human and natural habitats that we crisscross, leaving tracks in the snow everywhere. Good morning, Peter. We're so glad to have you with us today. Talk about the Institute and this year's series.
Good morning, Chris.
First off, I want to ask you, what is the significance this year of the theme, Who Owns Us? And what caused you to choose to go in that direction?
Yeah, it really came about, as you know, every year we do a lecture series around some theme. And so last year, as we were hearing a lot of politicians harumph and speechify about all these institutions and ideas in society that we hold sacred, that of course we're all for jobs and the market and the economy and education and healthcare and national defense. These are all things you can't attack. You have to be for them. We're all for kids. We're all for, caring for our elders. And yet, of course, inaction, they're essentially sacred cows. There are things that you can't criticize, but inaction, you can oftentimes say one thing and do exactly the opposite. So we went through that series kind of identifying these sacred cows and kind of shedding some light on the reality of the way we really do treat workers and our education system and healthcare. And it was kind of the Ilahi board of about 8 or 9 of us and a bunch of kind of guest thinkers and society members. We came to the, not very difficult realization that, these systems, and this year we're looking at a subset of these, food and environment and media and finance and government, they're not just issues or really complex challenges or, institutions that we need to, do a better job with. They've all become commodities, they didn't really evolve as commodities. I mean, education and healthcare and the media, didn't evolve as a commodity that could be owned and transferred around and owned, remotely. And now they've become commodities that are increasingly influenced by a really small set of society. And a lot of us go through our daily lives. Probably fewer KBOO listeners, but a lot of people go through the daily lives not really aware that these systems that they're participating in really aren't controlled by them at all. And there's an illusion of agency. But in fact, a lot of these systems, like our food systems, are controlled by, unless you're at Food Front or People's Co-op, they're controlled by, a half dozen to a dozen large corporations. You go to Fred Meyer, and, there's 3 or 4 principal grain, handlers and 3 or 4 companies that handle 80% of our meat production and 3 or 4 companies that handle, 80% of our cereal on the shelves and on and on and on. And it goes with a lot of other systems that, you know, there's these kind of the small subset of society, and it goes to, you know, government especially, that, you know, we each get one vote, but, you know, for better or worse, you and I don't have $1 million or $10 million that we can spend as a PAC on, you know, our candidate of choice. Or oftentimes, as you look at the PAC money spent by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce or, you know, AT&T, you know, they give, like, you know, $14 million to Democratic causes and $12 million to Republic, or, you know, Republican, or $16 million to Republican and $13 million to Democrat. They don't really care who gets elected as long as they get to have a conversation with them. So we're kind of looking at that, this kind of hidden ownership of a lot of systems that we, you know, hold sacred and have high ideals about, but then the way they really operate is quite different than the way we, you know, than the ideal that we kind of aspire for them.
Well, they're all in a sense, each one of these areas that the lecture series is going into. Raj Patel, first off, with who owns our food, then you've got Beck Parker, who owns our environment, and then see John Stauber, the media, and of course Catherine Austin Fitz, who owns our finance, and Jeffrey Clements, who owns our government. It looks to me like what you're addressing is the monetization of these institutions that we still persist in thinking are part of the public forum, but they're not. They're privatized, and it seems
right.
that a lot of what the Alliance Institute does is look at all of these areas from a sort of permaculture point of view, in that they are all environment. The financial system, that's an environment. Food, that's an environment. These are all environments, and some of the problems can be addressed by finding solutions within the ailing sector. This is an extraordinary approach to solving problems. It's extremely... The lecture series is... extremely proactive in that sense. I wonder, you made the decision to talk about this year, and of course coming along in hand in hand with the Occupy movement, which still is alive and well and strong across the country, across the world, in fact, it seems like the timing is perfect. Any other proactive steps that you can see in the lecture series, and that you'd like to just sort of draw a line and point out to listeners?
Right. So with each of the our presenters, you know, Raj Patel, who's is really one of the kind of the world's foremost thinkers on food and does a lot of research, has been traveling around the world and is working on a documentary called Generation Food, where he's actually finding a lot of answers, and we want him to share those with us tonight. I should mention that, the first of this lecture series actually begins tonight, 7 p.m. at the First Congregational Church, which is, you know, on the park blocks right across from the Art Museum, and you can find out more at our website, www.illahee.org, and Illahee is spelled I-L-L-A-H-E-E and then .org. Anyway, Raj, is going to kind of bring us kind of hopeful stories from around the world of how local people and regional bioregions are kind of taking back the ownership of their food systems. And we've asked each of our presenters, to talk about solutions or at least approaches, so that the full title of the lecture series is "Who Owns You, and What You Can Do About It." And so we really emphasize to our presenters, we really want to hear you know, what you can do about it.
And we are completely out of time. And listeners, I can only say this, is encourage people to come out and 7 p.m. at the First Congregational here, Raj Patel. But more than that, get involved in the ILI Institute, see what they're doing, see what you can do, what this inspires you to do, because the tracks between the human and natural environments are one way to transcend this creeping privatization and monetization of every breath that we take. I want to just quickly visit the Israeli elections, because there was an upset, which is a cause for some hope. As Israel has become more and more isolated in the rest of the world, and the settler movement seems to be louder and louder and more vociferous every day, we see that Yesh Atid, with the leader Yair Lapid, says that he would only join a government committed to sweeping economic changes and an overhaul of the system of the government. This is for Israel anyway, a turn to the left that took everyone by surprise. Returning quickly to Cascadia, Washington State, the good citizens of Clark County, and specifically the Republican part thereof, are not buying the bridge. Governor Kitzhaber and company have been trying to sell them. The county's governing board is cutting off funding to the county's leading economic development nonprofit because the group's advocacy for the Columbia River Crossing Project. The two commissioners to pay attention to here are David Madore and Tom Milken. They're both actually Republicans. They voted earlier this month to cut off $100,000 the county sends to the Columbia River Economic Development Council. Bang, there you go. That's something. We are completely out of time. I do want to let you know that we'll put some more on the Willamette Superfund site on the KBOO website for Air Cascadia. This has been Air Cascadia for Wednesday, January 23rd, 2013. Kurt Lauer engineered the show today. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Today on Flashpoints, anti-abortion and pro-choice activists face off in front of the Supreme Court on the 40th anniversary of Roe v. Wade. And we'll have our weekly report on occupied Palestine with Nora Barros-Friedman and the electronic intifada.net.